for me. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you remove me, remove Brian from this message, Lord. I pray for the Holy Spirit to speak this morning, I pray. And I pray that you at the end will be glorified is my prayer. Amen. I was kind of uncomfortable talking about a woman. I'll be honest with you. This message has been in my head for probably a year, bouncing back and forth. And I know men. I struggle with women. I live in a house full of women. I don't understand women. I kind of know them a little, but I don't understand them. But it's okay. It's okay. The Lord said, go ahead and speak anyway on this subject. You know, have you ever been touched by somebody? I mean, touched to the point where, you know, they left a long, lifelong lasting impact on your life for the better. I can tell you, it was my first semester at Riverside City College. It was in the mid-80s, and I had to choose a class. You know, my mom and dad, they said, go down there, and we actually lived in Barstow. She said, go down there and you register. And I mean, no one held my hand and walked me down there. I had to go figure it out. So I get down to the registrar's office, and I sign up, and I pay my little waiver and my fees, and I had to choose a class, and my mom said, make sure you get freshman English. Well, freshman English was filled. So I had to find another class in that time slot because I worked at night and I had to figure it out. And I chose a class called public speaking. And I thought, oh, that sounds like, you laugh. Go ahead and laugh. Because it was kind of nervous. I was a little nervous. Public speaking. What can I learn in public speaking? And when I came to the first class period, the first day, I was nervous. I was scared. I'll tell you the truth. I met a little lady by the name of Dr. Dinah Stallings. Dr. Stallings, you know, I Googled her name, and I want to read. I found an obituary. She died in 2014. And a portion, she had this huge, beautiful obituary, but I'll read just a small portion. Dr. Stallings was the first female to be named full professor at Riverside City College. When she founded and directed the forensic and debate program, Dr. Stallings also taught speech, political science, English, and she created the children's literature program at the campus. And she was a lifelong community leader in Riverside, Corona area. I walked into this class on the first day. Oh, man, I was nervous. And Dr. Stallings, she welcomed the class. It was a large class. I came from a background of Seventh-day Adventist background. My early elementary was in public school, but then my mom took us out and put us in the little Barstow Seventh-day Adventist school. Then she sent us down to San Pasqual, and this was my first class being back in the world. I was scared. This got on campus. There's 20,000 students. My first day in the class, Dr. Stallings said, you know what, young people, class, you know, every year I get an offer, I get a job offer every year to teach at USC. She said, I turn it down every year because this is where I believe the students are, right here in the junior college level. Oh, I made my way in that class, and about the third week, she dismissed the class, and Dr. Stallings says, Mr. Cook, may I have a word with you? Oh, no. The principal's office. And as I gathered my belongings and as I stood there waiting, there were other students speaking to her. I just waited. And as one by one they walked out the class, it was now my turn. She said, Mr. Cook, I noticed you don't have a textbook. I said, yeah. She said, is there a reason for that? I said, well, you see, Doc, she loved to be called Doc. I said, Doc, I'm new to town. And I have a new job, and really, I haven't gotten paid yet. But when I do get paid, I'm going to go buy a textbook. It was a pretty lame excuse, but it was the truth. I could have called home and asked mom and dad, but my pride wouldn't let me. She immediately reached down under her desk, opened her purse, and grabbed some cash and handed it to me. And I'm like, oh, I took a step back. No, doc, I can't take that. She says, go buy yourself a book. And I said, doc, I'll be okay. So I get paid on Friday. Don't worry, I'll buy a book. She said, get yourself a book. I said, I can't. I just can't. My pride won't let me. I was like 18 years old. I had pride back then. I'm broken now. You know, she knew I wasn't going to take the money. Then she put it down and she opened up another bag and she grabbed her textbook and she said, here, take this book. And I said, I can't. She says, listen, you are going to get behind in my class. And you can't afford to get behind in my class. Take the book. And when you buy your book, bring my book back. I took her book and I carried it. And I didn't get any dirt on it. I was so nervous carrying the teacher's book. But you know, she did something that day to me. I was puzzled. Not everyone's so bad after all. Dr. Stallings saw a need. I was hiding the fact that I didn't have a book. But she saw that I didn't have a book for 3 weeks. You know, I went down to her office. Oh, by the way, I took several classes from her after that. I took debate. Why would you ever take debate? I took another speech class. Do you know, Dr. Stallings, I went to her office one day, and I walked in her office, and she said, because we had a meeting for something, and I got in her little tiny office, and there are pictures all on her wall of people, of different faces. And I said, Doc, who are all these people? She said, oh, students of mine. They've all sent back pictures. She said, oh, that guy there, he's an attorney. And that, oh, she's a doctor. And I think he's a congressman now. And I was like, wow. All this time I thought Doc was making me feel special. She made everyone feel special. She touched everyone's life. And I was just blown away by that woman. I'll never, never, ever forget that beautiful woman. You know, there's a story in the Bible, and it's found in Luke. If you have your Bibles, it's about a woman who has a need, and a woman who was touched and changed forever by Jesus, by this brief encounter by Jesus. Verse 43, it's Luke 8, verse 43. It's only about 5 or 6 verses, but here we are still, 2,000 years later, talking about this story. In verse 43, it says, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years had spent all of her living, livelihood, this is the New King James, on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind, and she touched the border of his garment, of Jesus' garment, and immediately her blood flow stopped. Have you ever been sick for 12 years? 12 years is a long time to be sick. 12 years is a long time to be suffering with pretty much anything. Very long time. You know, I've always read this text. Always read this text, and I've always thought that the woman spent all of her savings. But I thought, you know what? As I read through this text, her livelihood, it's my version says, could it be that this woman worked every day to pay doctors? Every dollar that she earned went to doctors? Just to find a cure for her condition. And the text says that they never did find any condition. This nameless woman. And it appears that no one cared for her. No one cared about her. She did not have friends to help her take her to the doctor. The text does not say that. You know, and I'm going to even assume that she didn't have friends to carry her to the rooftop. Like the other story in the Bible where they... four young men carried a friend of theirs. Now, those are good friends. Those are friends. But no, I think this woman was alone. I'm going to assume that she was alone. She was broken financially. We know that from the text. But I'm going to even say that she was broken emotionally. This woman was broken. Her condition of being that she's had for 12 years, I'm even going to step out and even say that I think she was an outcast. In the book, Desire of Ages, it writes that she did not feel worthy to confront Jesus. But you know, she came to that city where Jesus was to find Jesus. Because of the crowd, she hesitated. And because she almost missed her only opportunity to see Jesus, she came up from behind and she touched the hem of him, because she knew that if I could just get to Jesus, I would be made whole. This is when the beautiful miracle happened. In verse 45, it says, "And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, who touched me?'" I can imagine Jesus stopping and saying, "Who touched me?" I have an imagination. I've always had one. Even a little kid, I didn't need friends. I had myself. Oh, Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me?" And I can imagine as everyone says, "Touch, I didn't touch, you touched Jesus." And then my good friend Peter, who opens his mouth at every opportunity, I have that problem sometimes. He opened his mouth and he said, you can hear the sharpness in his tongue. "Really, Master?" These are my words. "Really, Master? All these people around you and you want to ask, who touched you?" I heard someone laugh just now, but I can imagine someone snickering that day. Snickering. Jesus wants to know who touched him. Wow. There were people in that crowd that day who were there just because. You think they believed in Jesus? No, it was a thing to do. I heard this guy's coming to town, and you know what? I heard that he can heal. Let's go see him. Let's go see him. There were people in that crowd that day who were there just because. They did not believe in Jesus. They just wanted to see something. They didn't want to miss anything. You know any of those people? I can imagine Jesus raising his hand and silence the crowd. Verse 46 says, "But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me.'" I felt power leaving me. I have a clicker here. I'm sorry. It's the big one? The bottom one. Thank you. I'm learning, folks. Oh, listen to this. Oh, no. The wondering crowd that pressed close about Jesus realized no accession of virtual power. But when the suffering woman put forth her hand to touch him, believing, remember that word, believing that she would be made whole, she felt the healing virtue. Got to read one more. So is spiritual things. To talk of religion in a casual manner, to pray without soul hunger and living faith avails nothing. It does nothing for you. A nominal faith in Christ, which accepts him merely as the Savior of the world, can never bring healing to the soul. This woman believed something. She believed, if I could just get to Jesus. Got a question for you. Did Jesus know who touched him? He did. Jesus knew. Does Jesus know our problems? Does he know when I'm hurting? When I'm struggling, he knows. Jesus knew that day who touched me. So why would Jesus stop and ask? Why would Jesus stop and ask, "Who touched me? Master, all these people around, you want to know who touched you?" You know, she could no longer hide. She could no longer hide. Jesus knew. The book of Desire of Ages says that Jesus was looking right at her. He knew who she was. With grateful tears, she stepped forward and she began to immediately. Verse 47 says, "Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and she fell down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately." I like that word, healed immediately. We often want things immediate, right? We're an immediate kind of generation. Immediately. This woman was hiding. You know, brothers and sisters, from the time, think about this, from the time that she touched Jesus to the time he stopped the crowd, to the time he asked the question, who touched me? This woman was already healed. To the time that she stepped forward, she was already healed. What do you think? 2 minutes? 5 minutes? She was already healed immediately, the Bible says. So in that short time period, and I got to go, verse, I'm going to read it from the Children's Bible. When the woman saw that she could not hide, she came forward shaking. She bowed down before Jesus. While all the people listened, she told why she touched him. And then she said she was healed immediately. She was healed immediately and immediately began witnessing to the crowd. That's why Jesus called her out. Jesus knew that, hey, you know what? We're going to testify today. Someone touched me. Yes, there were people touching Jesus, but only one person was healed that day when they touched Jesus. Immediately, she was put on the spot, and immediately, she didn't take credit for anything. She immediately started testifying how I touched his garment, and let me tell you, it's not the garment. It wasn't the clothes he was wearing, was it? It was his holy power. It was his power. Verse 48 says, and he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace. You know, at the wedding of Cana in John, I believe John's the second chapter, Jesus was invited with his disciples to a wedding. You know the story. And I love that story because I've always laughed because when Jesus' mother was obviously there hosting or doing some work there, he wanted to see his mom, I imagine, come and get some food. You know how moms are. Come over and get some food. I got a wedding. There's going to be plenty of food. Jesus comes, and then next thing you know, his mom comes and says, hey, we got a problem. We got a little problem here. We've ran out of wine. And I love the fact that Jesus' response to his mom was, he called her woman. Or woman. I once called my mom woman. Once. I was in high school and it didn't go too well. I called her woman. I don't know what got into me. I look back, I'm thinking, I must have been crazy. Called my mom woman. One time, Jesus called his mom woman. He says, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? That's a great lesson. And I'm not going down that story because that's a deep, deep story. What does that have to do with me? It says, for my hour has not come. And you know, moms, I love moms. Moms are special people. Mom said to the servants, whatever he says, just ignore him. Whatever he says to do, just do it. And you know the results. Just do whatever he says. Man, he called his mom woman. You know what? Jesus took this broken, this weak, this suffering. She was suffering. This nameless woman, and he did something wonderful. He called her daughter. What does that mean, call her daughter? We can easily run over that. He called her daughter. Excuse me. Jesus had already healed her physically. She testified with that part. I'm healed. But yeah, I can imagine Jesus bending down and helping her up from his feet and saying, daughter, daughter, be of good cheer. Stop crying. Dry your eyes a little. It's okay. Your faith has made you well. You know, I have daughters. Praise God, I'm thankful to have daughters because someday I'm going to need my daughters. You know, daughters, you know, anyway. When you get old, you need to call your daughter. I look at my children now and I wonder, which one is going to help me? Which one of you? my youngest, I love her, she always says, Dad, don't worry, you and Mom can live with me. I'm like, I can? Oh, no, I'll get a little place for you over in the corner. I said, sweetie, Dad, I only need like 2 meals a day. I'll just, you know, my oatmeal in the morning and just a little something. You know, I won't even talk if you don't want me. I'll just sit in the corner. Don't even worry about it. She said, be quiet, Dad. Daughters. He called her daughter. That's an endearing term, isn't it? It's a term that brought her into the family, man. I mean, I can't call everybody I see daughter. I can call you friend, right? I can call you sister. But Ali can call a chosen few daughter. Jesus brought her, picked her up, and put her, brought her into the family. And my daughter's home. Isn't that what Jesus is all about? Isn't this what this our walk is all about? Man, Jesus had already healed this woman physically. Now he was calling her daughter. Jesus was healing her emotionally. He was making her complete. Her faith had made her well. Jesus had made her whole again. By calling her daughter in front of the crowd, I like this word, he validated her, did he not? He now said, it's okay. She's okay. She's a part of us. You can no longer treat her as an outcast. You know, praise God that he wants us all back in the family, doesn't he? He wants us all in the family. I sometimes struggle with the way we treat each other, you know, brothers and sisters. And I say this, it's not in my notes, but I got to say this. You know, sometimes I'm going to say it. I wonder, we can treat each other as mean as we want, unkind as we want, and then we think we're going to be in heaven. I mean, are those traits going to just leave us when we get to heaven? All of a sudden, we're going to be kind and nice and loving and gentle to one another? No, it starts down here. You know, if you look at TV, and I'm trying my hardest to look less and less at television. Less and less at TV, because it just wants you to be upset, wants you to be scared, it wants you to be confused, right? It's confusing us. Wants us not to trust one another, love one another. All the opposite of what this book is all about. Television. And now, you know, we don't have to use television. When I was a kid, we used to argue about television. I'm looking for my phone. Now we just have it right here in our pocket. Everything you want is in your pocket. I remember the argument as a kid. Not my folks, I don't think. Folks would come home and they say, oh, my parents came home and they felt the television to see if we were watching the television. You guys laugh because you know what I'm talking about, right? Then I remember this interesting thing happened. My brother brought home a DVD player. No, it was a VHS player, big giant thing. Yeah, it took two people to carry it. Then all that stuff came into her house, right? And now, no longer running to the movies was an issue. The movies were in our house. And now it comes in our pocket. Anything you want is in your pocket. You know, I look at my own phone bill, and we don't use any minutes, it's all data. Because nobody calls anyone anymore. Well, heaven forbid we call someone. Listen to this. The faith that is unto salvation is not a mere intellectual assent to the truth. He who waits for entire knowledge before he exercises faith cannot receive blessings from God. Do we understand that? If we wait to fully understand something, can't be a blessing from God. It is not enough to believe about Christ. We must believe in Christ. Amen? I heard a preacher once say, he said, you know, in God's book, all his promises, God never says, understand me. God says, trust me. He never said, understand. Isn't that true? There are things that we do not understand. We will not understand. The only faith that will benefit us is that which embraces him as a personal savior, which appropriates his merits to ours. Amen. God's going to look at Jesus Christ and say, oh, yeah. Jesus is going to say, hey, you know, I know Brian personally. I know him personally. He's all right. He ain't done no good, but he's all right. Because of what I did, what Christ did. Many hold faith as an option. What does that mean, holding faith as an option? Today, I'm going to trust you, Lord, I think. Saving faith is a transaction by which those who receive Christ join themselves in covenant relation with God. Genuine faith is life. A living faith means an increase of vigor of confiding trust by which the soul becomes a conquering power. A conquering power. Do you want to be a conquering power? Now think about this. What effect do we have on one another? What effect do we? I often wonder, man, I would love to just be and be able to walk with Jesus. I would love to have been there that day. Not saying much. I would have just been the guy in the crowd, walking, observing Jesus, how he interacted with people. You know, Jesus was on his way to heal a girl, a young 12-year-old girl, when this woman touched him. Because if you turn back, Jairus had come and asked Jesus, Jesus, my daughter's ill. She's dying. And Jesus said, let's go. And on the way, as they were walking, this woman touched Jesus. And he had to stop. He had to stop and address the fact that she touched him. You know, I love this. Our confession of his faithfulness in heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. Our confession of his faithfulness is heaven's chosen agency for revealing Christ to the world. We are to acknowledge his grace as made known through the holy men of old. Listen to this last verse. But that which will be most effectual is the testimony of our own experience. What are you saying? Our own experience, my experience and my testimony is more important, is more effective than when I read this. We are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others. Rosita, your life is different than mine. Your walk is different than mine. Your walk is different than my walk. Therefore, my testimony is going to be different than your testimony. Every individual. We are witnesses for God as we reveal in ourselves the working of a power that is divine. Every individual has a life distinct from all others and an experience different and essential from theirs. We're all different. I love the fact that we're all different. God desires that our praise shall ascend to him, marked by our own individuality. Those precious acknowledgments to the praise of the glory of his grace, when supported by the Christ-like life. We got to be Christ-like. Have an irresistible power that works for the salvation of souls. How we act, how we talk, how we treat each other can be more powerful to our neighbors than giving them a Bible. The testimony of our own experience is the most effective witness. Brothers and sisters, the words that come from my mouth, I know. Because I live in this body. And sometimes when I say or don't say good morning can alter the way the day's going to go. Do you know what I'm talking about? The way I speak in my own home will affect the rest of the day. Brothers and sisters, the words that come from my mouth, the actions that others see that I do, are more effective witness than the book. The first Jesus that my children will ever see is in me. You understand that concept? I understand that concept now. I wish I understood it a little more when they were little. The only Jesus that our neighbors or our coworkers may ever see is the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me. I believe it. By God's grace, we have the ability to daily touch lives around us. I think about Dr. Stalling. It's funny, when I was thinking about the sermon, I actually Googled. Have you ever Googled yourself? Don't do it. You might get scared. I put her name in there and stuff came up. I'm telling you, I was thinking, isn't it interesting, all these years, that little lady has left an impression upon me. But you know, there's another woman in my life who and I'm closing now, her name is Ruby Spees. She was a retired, when I met her, when I was a child, she was a retired Seventh-day Adventist school teacher. And she, well, let me back up. About the fourth grade, my brother and I were in the backyard playing in the dirt because that's all we had, was the dirt. And we didn't know anything better. But we were having fun, and all of a sudden my brother said, oh, Mrs. Sawyers is in the house talking to Mom. And Mrs. Sawyers was my fourth grade teacher. And oh, man, I'm nervous now. I'm like, oh, Mrs. Sawyers is there. My mom, I didn't realize my mom and Mrs. Sawyers were friends. And I was like, oh, we came in because, you know, it's polite. You had to come in and say, hello, Mrs. Sawyers. Hi. And we, my brother and I, we put ourselves to bed that night. We just said, we're done playing. Sun's still up. Don't care. We're going to bed. Something's bad about to happen. She's got to be really mad to wake us up. So we're going to go bathe, put ourselves to bed. We put ourselves to bed. Sun's still up. It's the truth. Woke up the next morning, and Mom said, you know, Brian, I got to talk to you. Mrs. Sawyer said, she said, you're struggling with reading. And she said she suggests that we get a tutor. And I'm like, okay, that's nothing new. So basically, I couldn't read in the fourth grade. So my mom, this lady in our church, was a retired teacher. And somehow my mom got connected with her. And every day after school, 4 days of work, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, instead of going home that direction, I went the other direction, a mile the other direction on my bicycle. I think my mom even bought me a bike so I can get there. And every day, Mrs. Spees would give me a glass of Welch's grape juice or Welch's apple juice, because it's hot, Barstow. Let me cool down a little bit. And then we would read, and we'd read, and we'd practice reading. We did that for years, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, about 5 years. Never accepted one dime from my mom. Never accepted. About an hour of her time. Woman, where would I be today? I don't read the best, I'll admit, right now. But hey, I can get it done. Where would I be today if she hadn't taken the time out of her life to touch somebody? You know, I bumped into a friend of mine 2 weeks ago. She was from Barstow, and we hadn't talked, and we hadn't seen each other in years. And I asked her, how's Mrs. Spees? And she said, you know, that lady's still alive. Like, she said, she's got to be 100. I said, you know, I'm going to find her. Because I went to her house last time I was in Barstow, and her house was empty. And my heart sunk. I got to thank her, right? I got to thank her for what she did for me that day. You know, I got to thank my mom someday. I never had the chance. Thank you, Mom, for introducing Jesus Christ to me. Thank you. Out of 9 children, she was the only one who held on to the message. Thank you, Mom, for seeing something in me. You know, brothers and sisters, I'm done with this message. It's a little early. It's okay, though. I got a question. When was the last time you touched somebody? That's what all I have to say. When was the last time you touched somebody? Because that's really what we're here for. We're not here to stack our pennies in a pile or see how many cars we can buy. Ken, it's my thing. I drive old cars. How many people have you touched? We're going to get to the kingdom and we're going to be able to run and hug each other and say, man, thank you for helping me that day. You never knew. You would never know how much it means to me what you did for me that day or that time in my life. Thank you.